Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The off-season program is over for the Tennessee Titans. I actually missed this day. In years past, I used to get sad because the off-season minicamp would be over, and then it'd be like, oh, man, 5 or 6 weeks until training camp? Oh, my goodness, it's so long, and I just want it to be football season. And now, I think after the year we had last year, I'm just looking back and saying, oh, man, it's so nice to have had minicamp. But minicamp is gone, and the Titans are one of the top contenders, we would assume, in the AFC. And after they put all their chips in the middle to acquire Julio Jones, you kind of think they're done, right? Like, they're kind of done adding.
That's what I thought.
I've never cheated on my wife. I've never been married. I don't have affairs. I've never cheated on a girlfriend I've had before. I'm just not that kind of guy. But we all know the guy who does cheat on the girlfriend, right? And we know the way they talk, and we know the way they act, and we know the things they do in their spare time. Like, we all know that guy, right? And I think, again, having never been that guy, I think we kind of all know or can assume what it probably feels like being that guy. Like, it feels like, I'm not going to lay it all out there. But most times, those guys usually slip up. Like, it becomes pretty obvious pretty quickly where it's like, no. Oh, yes. And Mike Vrabel today was asked a question about the tight end position. And this was a position that I went into the offseason thinking, look, they're probably not going to bring back Jonnu Smith, but they'll probably get somebody else. Kind of like how they got Janoris Jenkins to play corner. They'll get a veteran like Jared Cook from the Saints. Kind of like Josh Reynolds, who was a number three or a number four with the Rams. Maybe he'll come here to be the number two. So they'll get Gerald Everett, who signed a one-year deal, back up with the Rams. I think has potential to be a starter. They'll sign Gerald Everett to be the number one here, 1 year, $6 million. They didn't do it. Then came the draft. There was Tommy Tremble. There was Brevin Jordan. There was Hunter Long. We knew they weren't going to get Kyle Pitts, but we figured they'd get somebody. And then they didn't. So they have Anthony Firkser, who's a backup. And they have Jeff Swaim, who's also a backup. Then they got a bunch of other guys in the roster, including some basketball player, Hassan French. And I wondered, are they done there? And I started to feel this week like they were done at tight end. And Mike Vrabel was asked about the progression of the tight ends. And listen to what he says. And when you listen to what he says, I want you to think about it like this. What if he was asked the same question about quarterback? What if he was asked the same question about running back? Would his answer be the same? Here's what he said about the tight ends.
What were your impressions of the tight end group throughout the offseason program? And then just how comfortable are you with that group, you know, personnel-wise, as is, as you guys head into the break?
You know, it's a group that, has some versatility, and that group, again, felt like I answered this, tried to explain it the other day. It's just not going to really be determined until we get some pads on and we're able to work with these guys in the run game and then, continue to expand their role in the passing game and what their responsibilities are. So that position is, has allowed them to run routes and be active. But we also know that they're going to have to contribute in the run game, and that's going to be identified when pads come on and we're doing those things in training camp. And then, after that, if John and I, like any other position, feel like we need to try to bring guys in to help improve our football team, we'll try to do that. We'll take advantage of that opportunity.
You think he would have said that if we were talking about quarterback? We like Tannehill. We'll have to see when we put the pads on if we like Tannehill. But, if John and I feel like we can bring somebody else in here to play quarterback, then that's what we're going to do. John and I, we like Derrick Henry, Darrington Evans, and everybody else, but we need to get the pads on before we can decide whether or not Derek is our starting running back. And you know what? If John and I feel like we need to bring somebody else in here to compete with Derek, that might be what we have to do. He wouldn't say that, would he? He wouldn't say that. So when I heard that, and I was listening to the press conference like everybody else, and when I heard Vrabel talk about the tight ends and saying, you know, we got some versatility there, I'm like, eh. And then I'm hearing him say, but, you know, we won't know until we put the pads on. I'm like, okay, that's typical coach talk, although there is truth to that. But that's typical coach talk. Okay, fine. And then when I heard the, and if John and I feel like we need to bring somebody else in here, then that's probably what we'll end up doing. I thought, that sounds like the guy who cheats on his wife or girlfriend. That sounds like the, you were doing what last Thursday night? That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't add up to me. You went to what hotel? What? Why were you there? And when John, so when Mike Vrabel said that, I was like, I am skeptical of what I thought earlier in the week, which was, I thought that, hey, they were going to do this Firkser and Swaim thing, and on first down and 10, they're running Firkser out there, and they're going to hold their hands and pray in a circle that Anthony Firkser can learn to block, at least kind of block, going into this season, and that if it's second and 3, Jeff Swaim's going in the ball game, and if it's 3rd and 6, Firkser's going in the ball game, and they were just going to play that game unless somebody emerged as one of these undrafted free agent tight ends that makes some plays and then moves their way up the food chain. And then I heard, and if there are some people that come available, and then John and I decide that we want to, as we would with every position, not quarterback, not running back, not wide receiver anymore, not anything there, even kicker. Today he was asked about kicker, and he didn't bring up the idea of bringing somebody else in. I think they're bringing a tie. I think that there is a discussion internally, and they can say all they want. All these coaches and the GMs, and they can say all they want the idea of, well, we need to put the pads on before we get an idea. I don't really believe that. I think that they see these things in minicamp, and they make their assumptions just like we make our assumptions, and they go back and they say, we got to get another tight end. And I'm not saying that that's what they're saying, but clearly there's discussions about the tight end position. And I just was a little surprised to hear that today, and I do wonder, is that a tip-off to us that they could, in fact, be looking at making a move to add a legitimate starting tight end?
Do you have any idea of who that would be?
No.
Who would you choose?
I don't see. I was looking at it earlier this year, and I think like Jesse James, who was a starting tight end for the Steelers, who then went to Detroit and didn't do much there. He's available, but I think he's kind of a backup.
Uh-huh.
And so if I've already got backups, I don't need to invest any more money in any other backups. I think you have to look at a team like Tampa Bay, where they have a bunch of tight ends.
Uh-huh.
And then it is, do you make a call and say, hey, what would it take to get this tight end? What draft considerations? Things of that magnitude would you have to do? But I do think that there's something out there. I mean, it's easy to sit back and say, well, what about so-and-so? We talked about receiver when it came to Corey Davis. And it was like, okay, if they don't bring back Corey Davis, and they're not going to be players for Kenny Golladay, and they're not going to be players for Chris Godwin, and they're not going to try to get in the mix on any of the high-end guys. Do they do a one-year deal with A.J. Green or a one-year deal with T.Y. Hilton or, you know, one of these veteran guys? Do they take a guy like Josh Reynolds, do a one-year deal with him, and say, okay, you were a 3 in L.A., now you're the 1 here or the 2 here, but you're going to start? No one said, oh, they should make a trade for Julio Jones. Nobody brought that up as a possibility. And so I think there is a possibility. We talked about fixing corner. No one talked about Janoris Jenkins. When we talked about fixing pass rusher, everybody brought up Bud Dupree and Trey Hendrickson and name escapes me, Bengals, who ended up with the Jets. Oh, my goodness. Anywho, we didn't talk about any of those. I mean, we talked about all those guys.
J.J. Watt.
And then they in J.J. Watt, and they end up signing Bud Dupree. So, like, sometimes they sign the obvious thing. Sometimes it's, oh, man, I didn't know that guy was available. Like, right now, Zach Ertz is the guy that everybody is saying, okay, Zach Ertz is available, and they should go get Zach Ertz. And now the Eagles are saying, we're not going to release Zach Ertz. We want something good for Zach Ertz. And there's, like, all this talk about that. Like, maybe, but maybe the Titans expect Zach Ertz to get released and they're waiting for that. And when that move happens, that's what they'll do. But again, when I heard what Vrabel said today, and maybe that, maybe he included that little line in there as kind of a nod to Ferkser saying, hey, don't get too comfortable in this offseason program. Not that I think anybody would expect Anthony Ferkser to get too comfortable, but maybe that's exactly what that was. Maybe it was an empty threat, but I heard that and I just said, hey, he wouldn't say that about wide receiver right now. He wouldn't say that about quarterback. He wouldn't say it about running back. He wouldn't say it about offensive tackle, where they got four guys, Lawan, Sambrylo, Lamb, Raidens, even Quessenberry. If you want to count five guys, he's not saying, you know, if we need to find another tackle, we want to bring him in. He just threw the, as we do with every position. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Sometimes I get on Titans fans when I think they get a little crazy. Sometimes, and this is a lot of the time, I get on Predators fans when I feel like they get a little crazy. And then I saw what the Indianapolis Colt fans thought about their team. And I'm like, hold the phone. Next, Stillman & Company. TSP at 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Whole Center Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. And we'll give away some Jimmy Buffett tickets later today in the show, so be listening for your opportunity on that. Stillman & Company, it's TSP at 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Mike, I do wonder how much, with the players gone now, the coaching staff will get to focus on the opponents that are upcoming, maybe to get a little pre-study in before you guys have to start making game plans. And if you could, maybe – the Colts have added a new quarterback, and you guys have been very competitive with them over the last couple of years. What kind of challenges do you see, you know, in the division and building up this year?
You know, I think we're always conscious of who we play, but, you know, I mean, you could go overboard and start looking at teams down the road, and it could be drastically different. You know, we're going to get film of everybody. You know, maybe your early opponents that we haven't played in the past, or they have new coordinators, and you're trying to piecemeal together what they might do. Right now is a lot of time focusing, you know, on what we're doing. And yes, we're conscious of what other teams are doing, but we have to improve the Titans and make sure that we're as good as we could possibly be, you know, and then continue to take a look at, you know, what we're doing with, against everybody else. And yeah, you mentioned the Colts, and, you know, obviously very familiar with Jacksonville and Houston, and, you know, how competitive it's been, you know, in our division the last couple of years.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. I tried to ask him what he thinks about the Colts, because I think we would all agree. Jacksonville, see ya. They, you know, give Jacksonville a couple of years, then we'll talk. Houston, give Houston.
Absolutely not.
5 years and see if Deshaun Watson's in jail or, you know, out of the league, or if he's, you know, completely and totally vindicated of everything. You know, let's see. You know, let's see on that one. But right now, I don't feel good about them. Watson or no Watson, I don't feel good about the Texans. It's all about the Colts. And it just feels like in life, the Colts perpetually will get overrated. I cannot explain it. It drives me insane. I think if you've listened this week or this month or this year, you know that it drives me nuts how every year it feels like everybody just loves the Colts. Now, I get it. When Peyton Manning was your quarterback, I understand why you love the Colts. When Andrew Luck's your quarterback, I understand why everybody loves the Colts. I saw The Athletic, though. And all fan bases love their teams, and all fan bases are like I was when I was a sophomore in high school, and even coming off of a 4-12 season, I thought, could this be the year for the Titans? We all get like that when we're fans. And I certainly get like that a lot, too, as I look at this Titan team. And I wonder now, could this be the year? The coach has told me the third down defense is going to be better. Offense was pretty good last year. Trust the quarterback in Tannehill. Could this be the year? And while I wouldn't bet on the Titans to win the Super Bowl, if you're a fan, I could see why you would be excited. But then I saw this. And I'm not ruling out the idea that Indianapolis could be good this year. I'm not ruling out the idea that Indianapolis could compete for the division this year. I'm not arguing. I don't see the Colts winning the Super Bowl this year. But I'm not ruling out. I saw this. The Athletic had a fan survey. They do these from time to time. When Adam Vinken does his on the Predators, it's just fans that are complaining about Ryan Johansson every time. Like, it's
classic.
Pretty amazing. Listen to these answers. Where do you think the franchise is at? On the right track, still a year or two away, 70% say that. Championship ready, 24.1% say that. Above average, not too stagnant, 5.5. Not headed in the right direction, 0.1. So basically, 94% of Colts fans feel like they're either on the right track or they're headed to the Super Bowl. 94%. That's a lot. That's a lot. And for a team that has won one playoff game in like the last 3 years since Andrew Luck, you know, retired. Now, here's another thing. How has Chris Ballard done as general manager? This drives me insane. I think Ballard is a fine general manager. If you were to take the resume of Ballard and you were to take the resume of John Robinson, I think you could make an argument for either guy. Robinson's teams have had more playoff success. Robinson has never had a losing season, has never had a 500 season. Robinson has been to an AFC championship game. Robinson has found his team a quarterback. Robinson took over the worst team in the league. I mean, there's a lot of things that would support John Robinson. Then there's Chris Ballard. And when you hear national media types talk about the Colts, they just talk about Chris Ballard like he is the best general manager in the league. Like he is the cat's meow. And I think to myself, he hired an okay coach, like a guy we think is a pretty good coach, right? He seems like a good coach. Hasn't filled the quarterback yet. Hasn't made any just over-the-top, game-changing free agent signings.
But that's where I think Colts fans say, what do you mean they haven't found a quarterback? We got Carson Wentz.
Which we'll get to in a second.
Yes.
But then I keep asking the question, like, in order for you to be the best general manager in the league, where's the success? Look, in his first draft, he traded down with the Jets, who needed a quarterback. He traded from 3 to 6, drafted Quentin Nelson, and then drafted Darius Leonard. And the Colts had a good team. They had a great quarterback in Andrew Luck. They had Quentin Nelson play well. They had a good offensive line. I mean, he has drafted okay. So is John Robinson. But I keep wondering, did anybody watch Rock Ya-Seen at corner last year for Indianapolis? Hey, not very good. That was a high pick. What about Paris Campbell, the wide receiver at Ohio State? Anybody seen him play? No, they have not. And so I see this and I'm like, all right, let's see what Colts fans think of their general manager. He's one of the best in the league. 88.1%.
Stop it.
He's better than most, but not elite. 11%. One playoff win in 4 years. The results aren't there. 0.9. So literally 99% of Colts fans think that Chris Ballard is doing a great job. And most of them think he's elite. And I cannot, how are you an elite general manager? Let me tell you what an elite general manager is. An elite general manager is a guy who finds a quarterback from Texas Tech who everybody else is overlooking as a junior or as a sophomore and says to the head coach when he's a scout, says to the head coach, yo, you got to see this kid at Texas Tech. He's pretty good. Then trades up in the draft. And I can't remember if John Dorsey was still the general manager technically at that time or not, but it was Andy's call. Brent Veach was the one who pushed Andy to make this decision. And then they fired John Dorsey and Brent Veach became the general manager and said, you got to trade up to take this kid. And they traded up and they took him. And when they drafted Mahomes, nothing has been the same since. By the way, they found a way to work the cap out in order to bring in Honey Badger, to trade for Frank Clark, to extend Travis Kelce, to extend Chris Jones, and they still have a championship caliber team. That is an elite general manager. If you look at Brandon Bean of the Buffalo Bills, that is an elite general manager. With a team that nobody can get to the playoffs with for 2 decades, comes right in and automatically builds a really good defense with Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback, gets Buffalo to the playoffs for the first time since the Music City Miracle, then tears that down, trades for a rookie or trades up in the draft, drafts a rookie quarterback most people, including me, thought could not throw in Josh Allen, and all of a sudden has a Super Bowl contender. That is a good general manager. Nobody ever talks about Brandon Bean in Buffalo. Nobody ever talks about him. That's elite general manager. I hear all this talk about Chris Ballard. Colt fans think 88% think he's elite. Then, I love this one. How will Carson Wentz pan out? Again, these are Colts fans voting, and fans are a little skewed. But let me say this. I mean, like, we think John Robinson's done a good job here, and I would say 5 years, five winning seasons, three playoffs, one AFC championship game, one division. I didn't like how they handled the Mike Mularkey situation when they fired him. I thought it was unfair. But generally speaking, I think Robinson's done a pretty good job. Do I think Robinson is an elite general manager? No. I think that Robinson still has more to prove. And everybody's going to have their mistakes. Everybody's going to have their bonehead screw-ups. Isaiah Wilson, for example. Vic Beasley, another example. That's going to happen to everybody. But I still think there's room for Robinson to improve. And I think most Titan fans feel that way. Here's the question. How will Carson Wentz pan out? The choices: return to MVP form and lead the Colts to multiple playoff runs. 43%.
Oh, my goodness.
43% of Colt fans think that Carson Wentz will return to MVP form. Solid starting quarterback, but the Colts won't become an elite team. 41.6%.
That's fairly realistic.
It won't go well. After a few years, Colts will move on. 3.5%. And it will be a disaster. Hello, Jacob Eason gets 1%. So the Colt fans, 80%+
wow,
are buying on Carson Wentz. I mean, again, I get on Predators fans when I feel like they get super delusional. I get on Tennessee Volunteer fans who, after one win against a not-so-great Jim McElwain Florida team, want to stand on the table and say, "We're back, baby!" But this, I mean, I think the Colts need a reality check this year, and I hope the Titans give it to them. I do. Because I just cannot. For some reason, it's something about the Colts that drives me insane. And it's not the fact that I'm a Titans fan and that they play the Colts and the Colts are their biggest rival. And so it's like, you know, oh, I'd say bad things about the rival. It's not that. You know me. I wouldn't say a bad word about the Carolina Hurricanes or the Tampa Bay Lightning this year when the Predators were, hey, you know, anything can happen if the Predators go, okay, you know, you guys keep saying that. There's something about this Colts thing that drives me nuts. And I sometimes feel like it is that Indianapolis and the hierarchy in Indianapolis has been given such a passing grade for relatively little success. One playoff win in 4 years. Like, you won one game at Houston 4 years ago when Andrew Luck was your quarterback. Then you lost to Kansas City. You didn't make the playoffs. You didn't make the playoffs. You lost in the first game to Buffalo. You're playing musical quarterbacks over the last 5 years. Brissett, Luck, Brissett, Rivers. Like, it's a lot. And I just, for some reason, like, do I think Reich's a good coach? Yeah, I think he's a good coach. Do I think Ballard's a good GM? Oh, he's okay. Oh, he's a good GM. I mean, I don't think he's a great GM. I will applaud him because he sits on the cash that they have and he doesn't waste it like an idiot, which I can appreciate. But can we have a reality check moment for Indianapolis led by their fans who 99% believe in the general manager? Like 99%, 88% think he is an elite general manager, one of the best in the league.
See, that's where I am. You know, Colts fans should believe in their general manager. You know, their starting quarterback out of nowhere decides to retire, and he's been able to fill that quarterback position with names that I think excite the Colts fan base. So, yes, that was a good move on his part, but I think that we get lost in the definition of elite. We talked earlier about how we overuse the word goat, how everyone these days...
Sure. Everybody's goat. He's goat. AJ Brown's goat. What
makes him elite? There are people that in the NFL that I think are elite. I think that Bill Belichick is an elite football coach. I think that Tom Brady is an elite quarterback. I think that Patrick Mahomes is an elite quarterback. Sure. I'm not going to call the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts elite? He hasn't done enough to prove that he is elite. Am I going to say that he can't down the road be one of the greatest general managers of all time? No, I don't know that. He could wow me. He could be great. Carson Wentz could be NFL MVP this year. Could be. Do I think it's going to happen? No. Do I think that he's going to put the Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl? No. And I don't think that Titans fans would say that about Ryan Tannehill. I think some fans are higher on him than others. But I feel like the general consensus of Titans fans about Ryan Tannehill would be like, he's good. You know, John Robinson.
I think Titan fans think Tannehill's really good.
Well, John Robinson.
I think
they're not going to call him elite.
I think Titan fans need more from John Robinson. And I'm not. Yeah. And he's made some great moves.
He's done some great things.
That is
for
not
this
a
franchise.
Knock on Robinson to say that you need more out of somebody. Like before, I can get there. Floyd took the Titans to the Super Bowl, and 19 of the 22 starters were either drafted by the organization or were undrafted free agents. Only Frank Wycheck, Jason Fisk, a defensive tackle, and I'm running blank on who the other guy was. Those are the only guys that started in that Super Bowl that were not drafted by that organization. That is elite general manager. I mean, like, when you look back at Floyd's drafts in the 90s, with Steve McNair in the first round in 95, Eddie George in the first round in 96, Kevin Dyson, who was in the Music City Miracle and was emerging as a number one receiver in the first round in 98, Javon Kearse in the first round in 99, Keith Bullock in the first round in 2000, and I believe Albert Haynesworth in the first round in 2000. That is elite general managering. And so I look at this and I think, man, Indianapolis fans, they got calmed down a little bit. We'll get to your reaction on it. Your phone, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And do you think it's over, under the amount of people that are Titan fans that think John Robinson is elite? We'll get to that as well. 615-737-1025. FanDuel Sportsbook, that's my official sportsbook app. It is always exciting when a player scores a goal in the Euros, but this year it's twice as exciting because FanDuel is paying out double the winnings when you bet on a player to score during a Euro 2020 match. Just sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app using the promo code JGM and pick your goal scorer for a shot at 2x the payout. No matter who you pick, my friends at FanDuel will double your payout up to $250, and you'll have your bonus in no less than 72 hours. There is no better place to bet the Euros than the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's America's number one sportsbook app. Sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app with the promo code JGM and choose the player, any player, in the anytime goal scorer market for a chance to double your winnings. 21 and older and must be present in Tennessee. New users only, must wager in a designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus $250. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
I don't think that Indy wants 2017 Carson Wentz. They don't want the game on his shoulders necessarily. They want him to manage the situation and make good decisions. They were a good team last year with a much diminished Phillip Rivers. So if they can get something close to that or a little bit better than that, I think they like what they're getting. But 2017 Carson Wentz was the aberration. I don't think we see that particular season come together again.
There you go, Dominic Foxworth. At least somebody said, hey, Indy ain't that great. Let's just keep it real on Indianapolis. Let's go to your phones. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, what's in our text line?
Ben texted into the text line and says, Ballard took over a team that Gregson ran into the ground and created one of the better and deeper rosters in the NFL. And his star quarterback retired 2 weeks before the 2019 season. So give him some slack on finding his next franchise guy there.
Okay, so this is the whole, like, great on a curve. Right?
Right.
Like, great on a curve because we feel bad for Chris Ballard because Josh McDaniels left him at the altar and he went and hired a coach. And Andrew Luck left him before the start of the season. And so he was stuck with Brissett and he tried Rivers. And does anybody ever bring up the fact that they weren't interested in Brady? Does anybody ever bring that up, that they were dead set on Rivers? Does anybody ever bring up that they weren't in the mix on Darnold and they went with Wentz? And I hear this idea. Gregson built one of the deepest rosters in the NFL. Define deepest rosters in the NFL. I don't understand how that, again, people just say things like that. Tampa Bay had a deep roster, but they had Jameis Winston at quarterback, so that was never going to work. And then they got rid of Jameis Winston and they won the Super Bowl. And also, having a deep roster does not necessarily mean you will win the Super Bowl. Just look at Kansas City. So I struggle with that. I mean, I think I would take Baltimore's team building and roster building over Indianapolis's. And I'm not saying Ballard's not a good general manager. He's fine. But just the, the hero worship for Chris Ballard and the idea that Carson Wentz is going to be as great as he was that 1 year in Philly. I mean, no one ever looks at Mariota and says, maybe the Raiders should give him a chance. Remember Derek Carr, by the way, almost won the MVP in 2016 or 17. One of those years. Almost won the MVP award. Nobody looks at Derek Carr like he was. No one says, when's Derek Carr getting back to 2016? Ellie is up next. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Ellie.
I mean, this is John Robinson. It's not only going to show if he's a good GM this year, the way he replaced defense. I think it's going to be more on Mike Vrabel with all the changes on defense that we upgraded talent. I mean, compared to last year when you had Jonathan Joseph, Jadeveon Clowney, and Vic Beasley, I mean, we've upgraded our defensive talent, and we should go. We are the most talented team in the AFC South. And if we don't sweep the AFC South this year, then I don't know what Mike Vrabel might be smoking. Thank you.
Yep, thank you for your call, Ellie. I would say this. I think the number one question of the 2021 season for the Titans is binary, and I think it is simple, and I think it is, do you win the division? That's it. And there's questions that come after that, but the number one question to me is, do you win the division? It's binary, yes or no, and the answer should be yes. That there is no reason, barring, like, knock on wood, an injury to Ryan Tannehill, there should be no reason that this team should not win the division. Go to thegamenashville.com. Check out Nashville's best deals. This week's new deal is a $50 gift card for only $25 to Nashville's newest and largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing in Nashville, downtown at 648 Fog Street. Aim for a great time at Bad Axe Throwing while enjoying panoramic downtown views, live music on the Bad Axe stage, curated cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. Other deals that are happening include a $30 Boomboss Craft Pizza and Tap House gift card for only $15. Buy one, get one free for Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon. $30 Party Foul gift card for only $15. $20 Grain and Berry gift card for only $10. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Stillman & Company. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How do you go about especially now, you know, the expansion draft thrown in there, prioritizing with the unrestricted free agents, the restricted free agents, you know, next year's impending, you know, Matias and those guys. How do you have like a list that you try to like take care of things in some kind of order, or how do you keep all that straight?
Come up to my office. I got lists. I got files. Yeah. It's again, like we've been going over the expansion all year long, you know, mock drafts, different things, but it changes. I mean, what we don't know is what Seattle is going to do. Like, if you remember back with Vegas, they made a whole bunch of trades. And, you know, that when they do that, so let's say they make a trade for a couple of forwards. Well, what we thought we might lose a forward, that might change to losing a defenseman or a goaltender, for example, because we didn't know what they needed. Also, they, like us, are now under a cap. They have to take a minimum amount of dollars. They have to take, you know, X number of players that are signed versus unsigned. And we don't know what their strategy is exactly. So, you know, again, I'd like to have a conversation with Ron Francis and see if, you know, there was something there, ideally for maybe for him and for us, the best.
There you go. That was David Boyle on the expansion draft. You know me, I'm not an expansion draft talk guy, though we will probably get into it now that the NFL offseason is over. I'm not a huge expansion draft guy. And so I wouldn't really bring this up, but this came across my desk today reading The Athletic, where they have an expansion mock draft. They had three guys that would draft, you know, if you're Seattle, who would you draft in the mock draft? And Adam Vinken did his protective list. And again, we can get into all that, but I'm not interested in that. It was this that got me. Three guys that are national guys for The Athletic that cover the NHL. They could pick who they take from the Predators. First guy says, Ryan Clark says, six straight seasons of more than 10 goals coupled with a $2 million cap hit for a player who kills penalties makes Cali Yarncroke the option from the Predators. Fine. Another guy, Dehatischek, says, Well, no. The other guy, Dom Lasushian or whatever, says Arvidsson. He would go with Arvidsson, would draft him, whatever. Dehadish Chuck says Yakov Trenin. But this is why I felt like it deserves 5 minutes with a quick Preds thought. This is why it deserves 5 minutes. Only if the two sides can't negotiate a side deal in which Seattle takes on either Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene, with the Predators offering up a first rounder as incentive. Otherwise, Trenin, who was a useful energy type of role player in his first full NHL season and is signed for $725,000 next year. First of all, let me say, you want to take Yakov Trenin? Fine. I got to give him a first round pick to get rid of Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene. Now, I think David Poile has made a lot of moves that I don't agree with, and I have aired them out here. But let me say this. How could you own a team and have the general manager who sold you on signing these guys then later come up to you and say, hey, in order to get one of these guys off my team, I have to deal a first round pick, and I don't have any other good picks anymore because I refused to trade away expiring contracts and depreciating assets in order to get picks in return for each of the last two trade deadlines, because I was holding on to dear hope on the threat of a prayer that my team might be able to compete at the highest level of the sport, when literally every single person was saying I couldn't do it, including all of the people that cover my team locally. How could you listen to that? And I can't get mad at somebody for something they haven't done. But I think this speaks to the issue that I just do not understand when it comes to the Predators, which is, how can these guys that you, talking about the Predators, how can these guys that you believed in and you invested in be so worthless now to the rest of the league? Like, we were talking about buying a house today, and there's a big difference between buying a house or buying a car. This is why I don't own a boat. Well, there's a lot of reasons why I don't own a boat, but this is one of them. You pay $150,000 for a brand new top-of-the-line Mastercraft boat, and in about 6 months, it's worth $90,000. And in about a year, it's worth less. And you got to keep paying for them, and you got to keep paying the maintenance, and you got to keep paying all of the gas and everything else. And it's I just rather go rent boats from the boat club that I'm a part of. It's a lot easier that way. When you own a house, you expect the asset to appreciate. So you may not love the house you buy, but you'll only be there for 5 years, and you know that by the time you sell it, it'll be worth more. When you trade Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson, and then you give Ryan Johansson $64 million, for him to be this, at this level of value, which is, I want a first-round pick in return. And when you pay Matt Duchene $56 million and he's at this level where the value is just literally absolute zero, what are you doing? Like, what is going on here? And I go back to, again, it'd be one thing if the Predators had acquired a second-round pick from Mikael Granlund, and I don't know if they got offered that or not, or I'm going to assume they did. If they got offered a second-round pick from Mikael Granlund and they turned it down, they got offered picks for Granlund and Smith at the deadline last year, and they didn't take them. They got offered something for Cousins, something for Howla. Like, if that happened and they turned it off and they took it, and they said, "Hey, look, like, we like our team right now, but we feel like, you know, we're a couple of adjustments away. Let's take a step back here," then I would be okay with it. And then you trade a first-round pick to get one of these contracts off the books. And fine. But, I mean, when I look at the Predators, I see a team that cannot compete in today's NHL. Like, they cannot compete at the level that we want them to compete at. The level that they, as their mission statement, say is what they want to build, a Stanley Cup team. They cannot do that. This roster cannot compete for that Stanley Cup. Watch the game tonight. Watch Tampa Bay. That team you can't compete with. So I look at that and I'm like, all right, you can't win with what you have now. What about the plans for the future? But they've been putting that off for the last 2 years. And I keep wondering, like, okay, When is there going to be a decision that is made that kind of ushers in something than this purgatory that they're in right now? I mean, I heard Colin Cowherd today talk about the 76ers and how the 76ers just absolutely blew last night's game, which we can all agree with. And while I don't always agree with Cowherd, he brought up a good point, which was that he believes that in the long run, this might be good for Philadelphia because it kind of tells them that Embiid and Simmons, this is who they are. That the idea that Embiid and Simmons can be the next Kobe and Shaq, I don't think so. And I was thinking about this with the Predators, which is when things were really bad this year and it was unwatchable and the team was brutal and we knew there were just humongous holes on the roster and we just knew things weren't right. When all that was there, at least you knew that they weren't going to allow themselves to continue in that direction any longer. You knew guys were going to be gone. You knew trades were going to be made. You knew rosters were going to be blown up. You knew Hines eventually was going to be on his way out. But then they made the playoffs, and it was like making the playoffs and getting to six games with Carolina, who had average to below average goaltending, was like good enough to make everybody feel okay about it. And then all the problems still remain, and everybody else around the country still feels the same way they feel about your team in general. And it's just kind of like, eh. And I'm like, I read this, which is that none of the players that you could offer up, they want. And then in order to take one of the guys that you have paid handsomely, you'd have to give up a first round pick. And you don't have the other picks in the kitty because you won't trade because you think you can win with those guys. And nobody else wants those guys on their team because they don't think they can win with them. What am I missing? Like, what's the disconnect here? Why am I the bad guy? Like, I why? So, I am mentally preparing myself as we get into all of the expansion draft talk, as we get into all of the Predators offseason talk, when that is coming in the next couple of months, like once the season's over and then everything gets kind of compacted, to just be vehemently disappointed in the route that I sometimes feel like this organization feels like they can go, without taking the big steps that I feel like are necessary. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of steps necessary to compete, the offseason is officially over for the Tennessee Titans. Have they done enough? We'll discuss next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those are my guys. Big supporters of the Preds, big supporters of the Vols. As the Vols head on down to Omaha, summer weather is here, and this is the time of year when your AC system will be working overtime. I know mine is. If your unit is nearing the end of its lifespan or you're starting to have trouble keeping your home cool enough, now is the time to replace it. Hiller is offering special financing on HVAC systems this summer. Get a new system installed and pay zero interest for 60 months. It's really that simple. Don't wait until you're uncomfortable. Go ahead and ensure you're ready for those peak temperatures. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those guys take great care of me. They'll take great care of you. Proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.